Welcome to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I am Jessica, your host and female empowerment coach. In this space, we talk all things empowerment, confidence, and connection back to self. We talk energy, life experiences, love and relationships, and practical skills to guide you into alignment with your desired reality. Get ready to become your higher self. Ready? Let's go.
Yeah, no, that was good and that was productive. And it actually made me think about, today's topic actually, because I was thinking about, you know, being in a relationship and not being able to effectively communicate or have a productive conversation around insecurities leads people to feeling lonely. And I actually got quite a few statements more so in my question box saying, like, along the same lines of, like, I feel so alone in my relationship. I feel lonely in my relationship. I feel like loneliness is just part of my relationship now, even when I'm like right with my partner. And yeah, I guess it got me to thinking, like, what causes feeling like that in a relationship?
It would be interesting to ask, I don't know now, how, depending on how responsive your following is like, would you say that your loneliness has gotten worse over the past 2 years, or have you always felt in this particular state of mind? I think that this pandemic has shifted the element of loneliness even more so than what we've ever experienced before.
Why do you think so?
I think that's because we are suddenly, because a pandemic, it forces you to be an individual. Like, you can't really rely on anybody else. You can't go near other people. You can't, there's all of these rules that have come in, these like 2 meters apart, you know, doing all of this sort of stuff. And then suddenly, and we're supposed to now like fend for ourselves. So like those who relied on social interaction, such as possibly like you and I back in the day, like we rely so heavily on our social interaction and being around other people, that as soon as that was taken away from us, we didn't really know how to fend. And we were like, this is a new level of lonely, or like loneliness or aloneness. Like, how are we supposed to now change? It's one of the reasons why suicide rates have gone up over the past like year and a half. And things like that.
I agree. I think like, I got a lot of responses from a lot of people who are currently in lockdown, or they were sharing the experiences of being in lockdown, because the other side of Australia is in a very hectic lockdown at the moment. But yeah, it was funny, like we were saying the other day, I mean, we always say to each other, like, when are we going to see each other again? And I made a joke, like, I'll see it when I'm 40. But I feel like there has been such a loneliness presence amongst so many people during lockdown. And it's very sad. And I know I definitely felt it. And being in Perth, Western Australia, like, we haven't actually had it that bad. I mean, you've been in the UK, Steph, like, that's been worse. Yeah. But I feel there was definitely a period last year when we were locked down and coming out of it, where it's very isolating. And I think for me, on a personal front, it's more like I feel restricted, and I feel like there's so much space between me and my friends who live across the globe. Yeah. I can't just book a flight now and meet you back in Bali, or come to London. You can't just come to Perth. And I think that more than anything has really shifted into this feeling of loneliness when it comes to friendships.
Do you think that also falls into an expatriate community mindset as well? Because I would say that I struggle with it quite a lot because of my view of life and upbringing. And like, so I've been brought up in like different countries. My parents are super expatriate. I mean, like, my parents were just living in South Korea, but my transition to the UK, let's say, and during pandemic, I feel a lot more alone here than I have anywhere else. Mm. Because again, the distance between like, when am I going to see my, like I had a conversation with my mum and she was like, where are your people? Mm. And I was like, my people are across the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really know what to do about that. Like, I feel emotional talking about that because like, same. When your people are across the other side of the world, and then you're in one place, especially in a place that you don't necessarily want to be in. For example, like you didn't necessarily want to go back to Perth. I didn't ever anticipate my life in the UK. That's one fucking thing that I can be sure of. And my mum even said yesterday to my partner too, said, I never imagined Steph to be in the UK. So the fact that she's been here for the past year says something about you.
Mm.
And I speak for myself here. You could be in Bali by yourself for like 2 weeks, take yourself on like little staycays, do whatever it is, surf every day by yourself, go to cafes every day for yourself, but you never really felt alone.
Yes.
I don't know whether it was because of the level of communication that you had, that we had, and like with different people, even over message and like just on like a day-to-day basis, or I don't know, just because the world was more normal. What do you think? I don't know. I don't really. It's an hard one.
Yeah, I definitely, coming back to Perth during the pandemic, I haven't felt this alone and lonely. I can't even remember. It's funny because I agree with you on the Bali front. You never felt alone, no matter what you did. And I think because it was such an open, I always say it was so easy to speak to anyone in Bali, whether they're a female or a male, whatever you identify with, it was just so easy. And it wasn't confrontational. It wasn't like, honest, I say to people, you could go up to a cafe, to someone at a cafe in Bali and start up a conversation because you see they're reading a book that you've read, and it wouldn't be weird. It wouldn't be weird. They'd probably be like, sit down with me, have a coffee, let's discuss this. If I went to, I don't know if it's the same in the UK, but if I went and did that at a cafe here in Perth, someone would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Leave me alone. Like, leave me alone.
And in London.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Sorry,
yep. You. That would literally be Perth. And it's nothing to say about Perth people or Australians or whatever. This is just like my experience, but I think there was such a community vibe in Bali, and coming back, like I love my friends here, and I'm fortunate that I have close friends here in Perth because I was here for a long time before going to Bali and traveling. Mm. But I feel like the connection, and I've said this to you a lot of times, Steph, the connection that I have with you and all the friends that we made in Bali is different. It doesn't mean that it's better or whatever. They just, you guys meet different needs of mine. And I never felt that. And to come back into a place, everyone knew I didn't want to come back to Perth. I left Perth because I didn't want to be here. I didn't feel fulfilled here. And to come back and have to, it's only, I reckon, the past couple of months where I've actually started to settle in a sense and be like, all right, I'm here for a long term. And that, like, when did I get back? Last April. Yeah, last April. Mm. That's over a year of me trying to adjust, right? And for that year, I've had friends here. I've been working on my business, but I have felt this sense of loneliness, and it has been caused by the pandemic. It has. Yeah. It's been caused by this isolation. And, you know, I try to have, and I know you do too, Steph, I try to have this perception of, okay, it's one of those things. It is what it is, especially with Australia, hard borders. We can't do anything. But then I do get into kind of spirals where I think, fuck, like, when am I literally going to be able to meet you in Bali again? When can I come to London for a couple of weeks? Like, when is that actually going to happen? And to be real, it gets me down. It gets me down.
I know. You know? All the time. And I think as well, because like, I make a massive joke about myself over here where I'm like, yeah, so I joined a gym today so I can try and make friends. And I'm like, I'm 31 next month and I'm paying a lot of money to try and make friends in a gym. Mm. And I've now quit that gym. And so like, I will go out of my way to attempt to make friends, and people just find it really funny. I'm like, but I was never raised with my friends around the corner from me. Mm. So like, everybody who I live with, like, and around me, like, their friends around the corner, they grew up with them since they were a kid. you know, their parents live like 40 minutes down the road. And whilst now my mum now lives here, I would probably count her as like maybe one of my only friends that are here. Yeah. Although I have now reconnected with a previous Bali friend. Suddenly that reconnection has now like reignited my life a little bit, because I'm like, I can now have conversations that I used to have with this person in cafes and work independently. And I just think that's, I don't know, there's just, and I know that entrepreneurs themselves, or like solopreneurs, whatever you want to classify yourself as, there's been obviously a huge shift with that. And whilst we like, obviously we've always worked alone, and then we've been separated even more so. However, those who have been working in offices, in business, who have relied on people to go in and see every single day, that's increased their loneliness, which is why I want to go back to that first thing that you originally said, which is about like relationships and saying like, I've never felt more alone in a relationship. I've never felt more lonely. I think, this is my personal opinion, I don't know whether you agree with it, when it comes to the pandemic, prior to that, one of the reasons why relationships worked was because we were able to go out and about and do whatever we wanted outside of our relationship, because we didn't rely on our other half. We didn't rely on this person. So we put more of our effort and energy into work, socializing, the gym, maybe, possibly another person that you would speak to. And then suddenly, when everything got taken away, you were then faced with this person who you thought you loved. And then you are now in a relationship which isn't the relationship that you originally anticipated. Now you're two separate individuals living in a place. And now you're lonely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think, you know, I've known some, I guess, relationships to form out of the pandemic. And I guess for Australia, speaking of proper lockdowns, I mean, Overeast, as I said, is in one, but I guess more so last year to form. And they're still in that relationship, but I've also known relationships to begin. And then when there's become some type of normal, in quotation marks, living here, it's kind of fallen apart, because you're right. You have been faced to spend all your time, put all your time and energy into this person. And it's not, you're getting every single need met by this person in an unhealthy way. You're not seeking them in any other. And I think, you know, going back to what I originally said, regardless of the pandemic, I think it's so common for people to feel lonely in their relationship. I think it's so common, because they would rather feel lonely than actually be alone. Be isolated, physically alone.
Yeah. What's that quote where you'd rather sit in your own pain than face the like reality of like the chain of change. So it's like, you'd rather sit in pain of being lonely than face the reality of being alone, of stepping away from a relationship, of being your own independent human being.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. I know that I have been in that situation before, where you're just too fearful of leaving. So you would rather sit in the pain than face the facts and actually leave.
But why were you fearful of leaving?
I guess you put your identity amongst a relationship. I think we form like massive identities around relationships. And I think we become the other half, the other person's person, you know, then people refer to you as that. And I think when you create this world in your head and other people create this world for you, because they always have these expectations and they always have these things, you know, like I've had in previous relationships, people have come over and said, oh my God, you guys are the most perfect couple. You are couple goals, you're the dream, you're XYZ. And I remember I sometimes be like, guys, you do have to realize that we do argue like behind closed doors and things like this. And they're like, yeah, but look at you, you're definitely going to be the next ones to get married, you know, that sort of stuff. And then it ends up falling apart and you move to Bali.
Yeah. and then you moved to Bali. Crisis averted. No, I agree with you. I've definitely, disclaimer, don't just not work it out and move to Bali. Heal yourself first.
By the way, no matter how far you run away,
it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. Yeah. I agree. I have definitely been in an instant where I, in a relationship where I felt so isolated. And I guess I didn't realize until I was out of it. I guess I didn't realize until I experienced what it's like to not feel like that, because I guess a few reasons, you get comfortable with that. It becomes your new norm. It's familiar. It feels safe, even though it's not. And yeah, like you said, I completely agree with the identity. Part of your identity is attached to this person. Part of your identity is actually formed because of this other person. And so you think, if I was to leave this person, if I was to leave this relationship, then I'm going to be so lonely. When in fact, you're already experiencing loneliness inside of that relationship. You're already feeling and experiencing what it's like to be isolated. What it's like to be by yourself in this relationship, because you're not getting your needs met. You don't have a safe relationship. You're not able to be your complete self, but because you form this identity with this other person, with this relationship, you just keep going. And I just look back of when I've done that, and it wasn't until I got out of it that I realized that. And that's sad. It's sad to think that you stay in these cycles and you keep going and you just feel, I remember feeling so, isolated is the only word for it. I felt so isolated, even though I thought, wow, like I'm with someone though. Like I have this relationship. I have these things going on. Why do I feel like this? And it's just it's so funny, but it's not even romantic relationships. Like I've definitely felt this in friendship groups as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think as well that you just automatically fall into the, like, you're happy, but like you can be more happy and you try and fulfill other goals. Like, so you try and hit other things, earn more money, lose more weight, do that sort of shit instead of actually deal with the connection.
Oh yeah. 100%. That's, I guess, procrastinating, you know, and that's a coping mechanism, is that you are like, well, I'm kind of happy here. I'm kind of getting my needs met, but I'm not going to actually, like, deep down your ego is like, no, we're not going to sort this out because it's too painful. So let's go sort out. Yeah. Let's go to the gym and lose that 5 kilos you wanted to, or, you know, you want to hit a goal in your business. So why don't you put all your time and energy into the business? But at the end of the day, you are always going to, like, we just made a joke about running away to Bali. Regardless of that, you can run away to 20 other countries, but places, it will always catch up with you. It will catch up with you, whether you get a new relationship and you feel the same thing in your friendships and being by yourself. I think, you know, one of the things that I have truly worked on in my 20s is to be able to be okay being alone and feeling lonely by yourself and sitting with your thoughts and sitting with how you feel and how you behave and coming to terms with that. Because if you are able to, I guess, master the art of being alone and feeling loneliness on yourself, I like to think that you can start to identify that when you are in a relationship. Like, this is what it feels like to be alone, but should I really be feeling this in a relationship? Which I guess my question I have, Steph, is, do you think you will always have moments inside of your relationship where you feel lonely, no matter how healthy and happy you are?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I experience them now, but that's also, I have to take it into consideration that I am in a country that I wouldn't necessarily say that I associate with. I don't really have my friendship group around me, those sorts of things. So of course I'm going to have elements where I do feel alone, but I do think even in, like, I'm going to put in like quotations, whatever these are, the finger things, that every relationship you will experience some sort of feeling of being alone. And I think the reason for that is because nobody else is you. So you will always experience something, everything, you'll experience everything very differently to the person that's next to you, to the person that's in the relationship, to the person who you're best friends with. You will always experience something completely different. And sometimes that feeling might be a sense of loneliness or feeling alone in that situation. So, I mean, this can be anything, but there will be a time that will come up and your partner will feel okay and normal and can go about their day and do all the things, whether or not they're covering something up. But a lot of the time we will experience something so differently. And then you might sit there and be like, this is really hard for me. And I feel really alone and lonely because why is nobody else feeling the emotions that I'm feeling? So whether or not we like it, whether we like it or not, that's the way, you will end up feeling a sense of loneliness in your relationship.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't think we should ever see it as like a negative thing. Obviously, no. There needs to come a time where it's like, is this a sustained loneliness feeling in the relationship? Is am I procrastinating by putting time and energy into the gym, my business, friendships, whatever it might be, and not actually head on facing the actual problem? Yes, you need to be able to acknowledge that and identify that if that's the case. But I don't believe that if you have, I guess, moments in your relationship time frame of loneliness, that it's something to think, to freak out about, or to think you've gone wrong. Because I agree. I think we, as you said, we all navigate life and see life in a complete different lens to every single person in our life. It may be slightly similar to a partner, but it's always going to be slightly different regardless, or it may be very different. And I think it's to be able to understand, okay, this is just the way that I am seeing life. And just because my partner isn't seeing it in this way, it's not a bad thing. And that comes down to not taking anything personally. It doesn't make it right or wrong. Yeah. It's just the way that you're navigating life. But I think it's also, it's to recognize, yes, this is a part of relationships, and this is a part of, you know, the ebb and flow of our relationship dynamic. But if you are starting to feel that loneliness, it always comes back to, what can you do for yourself? How can you meet your own needs? How can you fill up your own cup? Is there something you can do within yourself first before you go seek out trying to fix the relationship? Because nothing can ever get fixed unless you're working on yourself first. And then everything else is a byproduct, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. It also comes down to, I know I mentioned it in the last one, maybe I'm just obsessed with it. I think it's because I keep doing work on it, on attachment types. If you think about where you are, whether like the way you were raised, although whilst the way that you were raised and like the way that your family, you might have come from a family background where you had to do everything very independently. You weren't really supported. So you understood what being alone was like from a very young age. However, you may have grown out of that and then gone into relationships where you did feel safe. And then you went from sort of like that avoidant attachment style to somebody who is very secure or maybe anxious. And again, like those anxious ones, you may feel super alone in relationships because you're not getting your needs met, but then that other person might be something else. And those are the different things. Like I know in myself that I can separate myself away very, very easily. I can be very independent. I will do everything myself. I'll never really ask for help. I'm very much an avoidant. However, I have been in times where I've been like super secure. So I would say last year I was super secure, whereas this year I'm way more of an avoidant than I ever have been. But that's also because I'm trying to protect my energy. Because I'm in a place that I don't really know, and I don't really want to put my time or effort into people who I don't really want in my life. Because now I'm like 31 in a month. 31 in a month.
Do you think if you do that, you are isolating yourself, and it's kind of like a self-inflicted loneliness?
Sometimes I would definitely say so. I'm my own worst enemy, that I just do it purposefully because I'm just like, I'd rather be by myself and isolating by myself then put time and effort into people that I don't actually care for.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like I'm at this point now. When we were in Bali, it always comes back to this. It's now just going to be like a Bali-based podcast every time that we speak, really. But yeah, when we were there, it was so easy to communicate with people and have an isolated day. Whereas, like, I would literally turn around to people and be like, "Right, by the way, I hate everyone today, so I'm just going to be by myself."
Yeah,
and they'll be like, "Cool, I'll see you when you stop hating," and then that'll be that. Whereas now, I almost like look outside to London, I'm like, literally hate all of you. All the time.
That's me in person.
But that's also because like I don't connect on like that deeper level. I'm just like, I know we're going to talk about menial shit. I don't really want to talk about that. I want to talk about like how we're going to change our lives. Like, what's going to happen? Are we going to take over the world? Like, how are we going to have inner peace whilst having outer peace? Like, you know, all of these things. I don't want to be surrounded by football hooligans and fucking losers like this. I live around the corner from the Chelsea ground.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm jealous. Did you hear the game the other night?
Well, this is the thing. Yeah.
Oh, the other afternoon for you. Yeah.
Yeah. You leave here. Like, I wouldn't go out after a football match.
Because I wouldn't.
Catcalled and like... there's like fights happening and it's like grown men. I even had this conversation with my partner, grown men fighting over young boys with a lot of money. That's all you're doing.
Yeah,
and
basically.
I just hate it. Like the football culture over here just annoys me, but I'm completely.
No, I'm low key jealous. I want to come. No. I need to be there for Premier League. I'm jealous.
You can come stay here. Like I'm like a 10 minute walk from Chelsea ground.
I'm so jealous right now. That's all I want. But see what I mean? I can't. And I guess like, I don't know, when you're speaking about Bali, I guess I was getting a little bit emotional because I think like, speaking about this made me realize how long, like, okay, so I get back in April, May, June, July. What's that? 12, 13, 14, 15. It took me, I reckon, a good 15 months to really settle here back in Perth.
Yeah.
Like that's a long time.
I'm still not settled. Bali last August and I did 4 months in Dubai and I'm back here. So like, I'm not settled. Like, I don't feel settled in any way, shape, form. I feel a little bit more settled that my mum's here. I might feel a little bit more like not alone anymore because she also understands it. But I don't feel settled.
Look,
I don't understand.
I feel... yeah, you know, thinking about that, I feel if someone came up to me tonight and was like, all right, you can go back to Bali, the world's going to go back to how it was, I probably wouldn't think twice, if I'm honest. Like, just for the pure fact of what we're saying, it was just, and I'm sure, you know, to acknowledge, I'm sure there's other places people are listening, thinking and listening to this and thinking about that, they've felt that type of, I guess, serenity that we felt and peace, which I acknowledge. I guess for us it was Bali, and I don't know, it was just, it's been fucking hard. And this is coming, you know, you're a bit different, Steph. You've been out and about for a long time. I have a good group of friends here, and you know, some of them listen to the podcast, they know I love them, so shout out to all of them. But I guess I've never really found what I had in Bali in terms of relationships and in terms of,
I agree,
ways of thinking and doing things and coming back. Like, you know, the first 6 months of being back in Perth, I felt so lonely. I felt so isolated. I felt so sad. And admittedly, I was in a bit of a victim mentality, which isn't healthy whatsoever. But I was just like, oh my fucking God. Like I have to move back home. I have to come back here. I literally have no choice. There's no control over this. I'm doing something I don't want to do. And to come back to a place where you already felt like you didn't fit in. Because like you said, you know, found so many great friends in Bali and great things and opportunities that I was like, wow, you know, I found this place I really resonate with. And it's isolating. And, you know, to be surrounded, even after we in Perth got out of lockdown, our nearly 3 month lockdown at the start, to be able to still go out with all my friends and go out to the festivals we had over summer and all of that, like it was great to go to the beach whenever, to go to cafes, you know, especially when you in the UK were still in a lockdown. But even to experience that, it's it felt so lonely. It felt so isolating. And, you know, this isn't to take away from anyone right now that's in a lockdown, especially those over East in Australia. I know you're doing it hard. Yeah. And I really, really empathize with you a lot. And I'm sending so much love because I have a couple of best friends that are over. We have one of our Bali friends. She's in New South Wales right now. She's in lockdown. She's, what are they up to? Like their 12th week. But it's just to understand that you can be, you can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. You can be in a busy world and a place that is actually your home or that you've called home and feel alone. And this happens. I think this happens so much more than people actually acknowledge. I think people are so much more lonely than they acknowledge.
I agree. I almost think we need to normalize the concept of being like lonely. I think we need to firstly understand what the difference is, like differentiate between being alone and feeling lonely. Mm. So understanding what those two concepts are for ourselves, because each one of us will have a different different understanding of it. However, I also think that, I think I just lost my train of thought. That's really annoying. I was onto something really good there.
Think.
Am I such a twat? Well,
continue.
No, I don't actually know what I was saying. Fuck.
Well, while you're trying to think, I guess, you know, understanding what alone and loneliness is, I guess I would say being alone is more of a isolating, like solitude feeling. It's also like the physical form. Like being alone, like I'm alone right now, right? In this room, in this house that I am in. And I guess being lonely is, I guess, more of an emotional state.
Yeah, it's where you feel, I would say, that you can't reach out to the people around you. You don't really know how to communicate your feelings. You're feeling very trapped.
Yes.
Trapped is a good word, like trapped internally. I know that feeling very well. Disconnected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are really nice words. I think there's like, you almost need to like put all of these into a pot and then come up with like your own definition of what they are. I know that if you Google alone versus lonely, it's one of those things, but I know that I wanted to touch on something, which is like Australia. I mean, I'll never really understand it because you guys are trapped over on the other side of the fucking world. You are in a position as a whole entire country where none of you can leave. So like there's this whole new way of life that's taking place over there. Bit of a weird one because like none of you can leave. Like nobody really comes in, you know, it's really, really hard. So this is something that I'll ask you. And because I know that you'll probably know the answer for me as well, is that when you begin to form relationships, whether over lockdown, whether pandemic, pre-pandemic, and you get very used to each other's company and you get very used to like the goings on, the routine, all of these things, when the world opens up again, how will you feel, your partner feel, the people around you, when you start taking the steps towards that independence once again? Like one of my partner's biggest fears is me leaving to go travel again, because he was so used to me being around, being here, like going nowhere. Like your people almost get to, I hold my hands up. I set myself up for failure because I don't necessarily put myself out there and would rather sit in an alone state because I don't necessarily want to invest in my time and energy, unless they're going to do like a female speed dating or like entrepreneur meetups, you know, things like that. I refuse to like put my energy and time into there. So I set myself up for failure because I would prefer to stay in an alone state. So my partner gets used to my alone state, very much like heavily reliant on like what they do, like making my social life pretty much revolves around them, you know, all those sorts of things. I'm not solo traveling because my home, Bali, it's close. I can't get in. But then when the world opens, there's going to be a lot of emotions that we will ride as a pair because the fear will come to life. And I think a lot of people are going to feel that.
Yeah.
In the next year.
I agree. Look, you know, thinking about this, and I've had conversations with my partner as well, I'm not done traveling, and I've been honest, I've been transparent, I'm not done. And, you know, I hope there's times we travel together and we've discussed that, but I've also been open and honest that I've always been a solo traveler. I love it. I prefer it. It doesn't mean that I don't want to take holidays with him. I don't want to do things with him. I can't wait for our first holiday together as a couple. But for me, I'm 28 years old now. I feel like nearly 2 years of my life have been taken away from me. And part of that is traveling. Part of that is experiencing the world and doing things on my own. And it's not for me to go out and meet someone else or to go bang around the world. It's not that. It's just, I love just experiencing the world and doing things by myself. You and I are very similar, Steph. We're very independent people. We can do that.
Yeah.
We have the courage to do that. We have the foundation where you and I can go travel and we can go make friends easily. It may feel a bit icky. Yeah. It may feel a bit weird, especially after the world opens up completely. But you and I are like that, right? We can have those conversations. We can put ourselves out there. And I feel that after the past couple of years, I've really lost that part of putting myself out there, of experiencing different new cultures and ways. Like one of the reasons I love to travel and be by myself is to understand different perspectives, understand different ways of life. Why does someone live the way they do? Why do they think the way they do? It doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with them, but it's so interesting. And so I agree with you. I think a lot of relationships, a lot of friendships, a lot of family dynamics and home dynamics, whatever you call home, is going to change, because people are going to be like, well, fuck this. I can finally spread my wings. I can do something, whether they go away for a week or they go away for a year. And, you know, it is a hard concept. It's a hard, I guess for both of our partners, it's hard to be in a relationship with someone so independent and, you know, can kind of leave at any moment. And I guess that's, as I said, we've had conversations, but I think, you know, now I'm only really starting to really think deeply about that. Like, okay, so what is the impact of that on both of our partners, right? Because we are like this. And it's like, would I like that? How would I feel about that? And I feel for me, I would never try to control my partner into not doing something, right? Love is freedom. But then I'm like, how would I sit with that? Because I'm not one for long distance. I'm not one to, I don't know. It's just never been my thing. So
I know
it's a hard one.
I mean,
one.
I did long distance one. For 3 months.
Yeah.
And that was hard, but it saved us. Because post lockdown, where like lockdown in the UK, I was just like a shell of a person. That's when I felt at my worst. Because I was like, I'm never fucking doing that ever again. Having everything taken away, like even though I was in Dubai and I wasn't necessary, I was working by myself, I was doing everything by myself. I lived with my brother and his wife, but like I preferred that feeling of lonely than feeling trapped and alone in a house. That wasn't mine. Like, and I think so many people understand that. I almost think the concept of lonely and being alone has changed so much. And over the past year and a half, 2 years, that none of us can even comprehend what it actually feels like to. Do you know what? I almost think that we will never feel or experience loneliness the way that we now experience it. Like there's going to be a whole entire shift. How we used to feel about being alone is so different to how we feel about being alone now. And then I think opening up, that something's going to shift again there, because then there's going to be this feeling of separation because we've gotten so used to like being around the same people all the time.
Interesting.
I mean,
the sense of like, would that make us more resilient? when it comes to loneliness alone, but then yes, understanding, yeah, there could be this whole, I guess, separation anxiety. So there could be two ways to go about it. Will we feel more isolated and have this separation anxiety because that's what we've been used to nearly the past 2 years? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to be more resilient? Because I completely agree with you. We will never feel this type of loneliness that we felt during this global pandemic. Never say never, I guess, but I can't see, you know, us really feeling this true isolation feeling that we've felt. So what I guess it depends on the person. Will that make you more resilient?
It does.
Yeah. Or yeah. Will that make you have more insecurity around leaving people, you know?
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, we're going to, I bring it back to attachments and things like that. We think that everything came from our parents, and whilst a lot of it does, and like our trauma responses and bonds and things like that. However, what's happened over the past year and a half has changed us in its entirety, and the way that we respond to people, the way that we respond to ourselves, how we now recharge. So I used to recharge with people. I was super like, I wanted to be out and about, super sociable. I got all my energy. When I was alone, I was in like a lull mode. And so I needed to be around people all the time. I was super extroverted. Mm. Pandemic, now I'm way more introvert than I was extrovert. I can go out and about and I can do everything, but then I'm just like, everybody please fuck off. Mm. I now need to be alone. And so we are going to switch up. Something's going to change again. Mm. Like, I almost think that relationships will now change forever. I think there's going to be more of an independence. I think that we already had this like post pandemic baby spike. I think we're now like going to go into less babies, more travel, more alone time, more like actual experiencing of experiences instead of sitting safe.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to go back to what you said about the extrovert introvert thing. Mm. I definitely agree. I feel, you know, now in Australia it's coming, I mean, we just hit spring, so it's in the next 3 months, it's coming into summertime, right? And there's, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, Western Australia, we have no more lockdowns, so there's going to be festivals, you know, the events are popping up on Facebook, there's parties, blah blah blah. But I agree with you. I feel that. And you know how I am, a very extroverted person too, but it has definitely caused me some sense of introvertedness, if that's a word. And yes, I still love going out and stuff, but I feel like almost at this time, feel like I would rather do that and come home and be isolated and not always fill myself up with getting energy from other people and being around other people. Like, I still love it. I love being social in that sense and going to events. But at the moment, I prefer way more to be in either an intimate group or by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I hadn't realized that until you brought it up. So it's going to be, I guess, interesting for myself to see how that shifts and like if that shifts or if this is something that's a part of my identity right now. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's going to be huge shifts.
Exactly. A whole other level of being alone. Mm. We're now going into like more independence. Like, I'm even watching people. Do you remember when we were all going, people were having to quarantine and it was terrifying and they didn't want to be alone. And it was like 10 days, 2 weeks, 8 days, you know, by yourself in a hotel room, whatever. And it was worst thing in the world, like being by yourself and like when you're trapped like that. I'm now watching people purposefully go and do like 8 days in Jakarta and fucking love it. Mm. 8 days in a hotel room in Jakarta because they're like, I can be alone. I can rest. I can do absolutely nothing. And they are excited. Like, the world has once again shifted. Mm. Our concept of being alone is no longer frowned upon. Mm. It's actually now, it's celebrated. It's like, go and do these things, be alone, you know, experience life in a whole new way. There's this whole entire, that I think that's shifting. But that also depends on like the crowd of people that you are within. And depending on who you are, you might be way more inclined to want to attach and want to not feel alone or lonely because of what's happened with the pandemic. But It's an interesting one.
You know what's interesting? I was just thinking, you know, because you're saying there, I guess I've noticed too an influx of, I guess, people getting engaged, married when they can, have weddings, having babies, all of these type of big life milestones, right? And each to their own. Yeah, same. Facebook and Instagram filled with it. Each to their own. But I was just having a thought. Do you feel that people are doing this because they feel this type of isolation in some form from the pandemic, and so to continue to fill their cup, they need these huge, big, I guess, perceived positive in quotation mark milestones to keep them going? So it's like, all right, here's this relationship. I'm feeling a little bit, you know, whatever, indifferent about it. All right, let's, like, we may as well have a baby, or we may as well get engaged, or we may as well have a wedding, or like buy a house, build a house. It's, I don't know about England, but that's, it's a big thing here. At least I can see in Perth, so many people are just fucking buying houses and building houses. First of all, I'm like, where are y'all getting all this fucking money from to have a wedding, and build a house? First and foremost.
I know, like, I can only see it from one perspective for me when it comes to babies is biological clocks. Yeah. That's one thing. So like for me, I'm 31, like soon enough, I would like to start thinking about having kids and things like that. However, we don't need to go to that. But I think on some form that people are making these decisions, married, houses, babies, to never really feel that sense of loneliness again, or to fill a void. However, we could be judged. There will be people out there who are in like very loving, stable relationships that want to buy houses and have kids and can't wait to like do all of that side of stuff. And I love that. I'm here for it. However, I also notice people that shouldn't be getting married and they are like getting engaged and getting married. And you're like, mate, pre-pandemic, you were shagging everything that fucking moved.
Yeah, I agree. But I guess
what, and now you love her? Like, what?
Well, it's funny. There's this couple that I saw on Facebook. And again, this is like for anyone listening, this is Steph and I's own values, and our values are quite closely aligned, if you haven't already noticed. But I saw a couple on Facebook. I won't give any more details because it might give it away to some listeners here in, I guess, Perth. But they
gossip.
They are pregnant. Well, she's pregnant. They're having a baby, Steph. They just got engaged, I think because they were pregnant. Whatever. That could be my own thing. Steph, do you know how long they've been together? It is September 2021 right now. They got together last August.
Oh, my God. That's like me having a baby now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't happen.
No. Like that to me, like, again, each to their own. Yeah, I get each to their own. That's not a judgment. I don't give a fuck if you had a baby within 1 month of dating someone, right? It's none of my business. But the perspective I want to come at from bringing this up is, do you think that because of the pandemic, people are more like, all right, well, we're not going anywhere. We need to make these decisions in life. Like, let's just settle down. Let's just do it now. And I, you know, with you, I guess the same about your biological clock. I mean, you know, I'm only just 28, but it's still a thought. I'm like, okay, fuck, when am I going to be able to travel out of WA? Is it the next 2 years? And then that means I'm 30. I still want to flounder around the fucking world for a bit. So, but then like, I have to worry about my fucking biological clock. Like, I would love to have the opportunity to have babies. So like, there's time. Like, what the fuck?
I had this conversation last night and with my mom and my partner being in the room, and I was like, I start thinking, right, okay, I really need to travel. I want to travel. So I need to make sure I get that done. Then I need to make sure that my business that I'm launching actually works and I earn money, you know, but then I've also got to pay my rent and my bills. And then I've also got to do everything else. How the fuck am I supposed to, one, buy a house? It's really hard to buy a house if you're an entrepreneur because mortgages, they don't really like you. Then also, do I even want to buy a house here?
Yeah.
Do I? I know I need a base, but can't that be a base on a beach?
Yeah. Can it not? And then, can it not?
It's like, it's all of these things that you've got to take into the equation. No, but I agree. I think some people are just doing it to fill a void.
Yeah, I agree.
But that could be, that like unpopular opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're only getting married because you just think it's the right thing to do.
I'm going to stand with unpopular opinion. Yeah, I'm going to stand with that. But I agree. You know, I have these moments, I guess, often where I'm like, fuck me. I want to go travel around and just like be a fucking kid for a moment, but I'm going to have to start having kids soon. What the fuck?
I know. Like,
huh?
I'm not ready. Sure I'm ready.
I'm not ready. I thought I was.
About a month ago, I was like so broody. I was like, please, can I have a baby in me now? And then now I'm like, no.
No. I have moments of like cluckiness. And I'm like, a mini like caramel version of me. Like, yeah, I could go.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm here for that. But like, that's the thing. You can't have babies and I can't have babies until we're at least like flyable distance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. I can't do this without you. No fucking way, mate. I can't do this without you. The fuck? Any small inconvenience, I'm like on my phone VMing Steph. I'm like, oh, I know it's like 4 a.m. there, but I need your help.
Yeah, you were sat at like dinner or something or drinks, and then you were like VMing me and you're like, oh, wait, what time is it there? Oh, no, it's like... 4:30 in the morning, also like 6 in the morning. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she won't be a fucking wake now anyway. I'm like, just about to get out of bed for this.
My mum
instilled that yesterday. She was just like, yeah, Stephanie, because she won't call me Steph. Stephanie's never been a morning person. I'm like, I've been trying to be this morning person. I will never be. The amount of times I used to let you down for a 7 a.m.
Fuck me. I'd be like, the night before, Steph, we're still on for a fucking 8 a.m. session. Yup. I'd rock up to the gym. Steph doesn't reply for about 7 hours. I think she's dead. I don't know what she's up to. And she's just been fucking asleep.
I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, I am so sorry.
No, but low-key jealous that you can sleep for so long, so deeply.
I hear one noise.
As soon as the sun starts pop out, I'm up. I'm up and about.
I would like that though, to be fair.
No, you wouldn't. It's fucking annoying. I hate it.
Does that make you feel really lonely?
Yeah, it does. Like, none of my friends are awake. I can't speak to anyone. When I get up early enough though, the time difference between us, sometimes you're still awake at night and I love it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But then you'll be like, why the fuck are you awake? Go to sleep. So then I'm judged.
Yeah, and then you're judged. But no, I agree. I feel like this whole pandemic has just made people feel lonely, made people want to, I guess, jump the gun on a lot of things. And I don't know, like, that seems like negative, but like, it's also been a big like learning phase about who I am and what I want. And I look at it in hindsight, like what have been the benefits for me on a personal level? Like, yeah, I felt super isolated. I felt super lonely, but there's also been a lot of growth in my business. I don't know if I would have got that if I was still traveling around, not concentrating as much as I've had to in lockdown. Yeah. I also have been developing myself as an individual for relationships, both romantic and platonic. So would I have been able to do that work and be the friend and partner and sister and daughter I am right now if I was still doing what we're doing? Like, there are still so many positives, but, you know, so it goes without saying, it has been and still is a very lonely and isolating time for so many people, right?
Yeah, so many. And I just don't think that there really is the support out there for those who are really, really struggling or in that, you know, in the depths of feeling alone and being lonely. I just don't think there is enough support out there because so many of us also just aren't able to hold the space for individuals because we are also feeling that like that.
Yes. That's a good point, is that it's so hard when you're feeling like that to hold space for other people, even if they're, you know, you're both feeling the exact same. It's like, it's one of those things where you're trying to keep your head above the water, right? And and you know, if you take someone on with you, if you start treading water with someone else, you begin drowning, and it's hard. And that's where, you know, people can become snappy and resentful and project a lot and you know, all of that. And it's hard to hold space for someone when you and yourself are feeling lonely.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's one of the hardest ones, but that doesn't mean that those who are feeling lonely should be fearful about reaching out and like talking to somebody and saying, and just like, it's just about having the awareness and asking whether or not that other person is available. But I mean, like, you and I both know with suicide rates that have increased over the past like year and a half, it is inevitable that we really do need to try more to hold space for somebody.
Yeah. I agree.
But
as I agree.
It also needs to come from higher up. Nothing's been done.
Yeah, so I saw this thing. I don't know if you saw my post. Hang on, let me go into my archive. I want to read to everyone what I reposted on my story yesterday, because it made me fucking frustrated. And I'll tell another story. Hang on, saved. Wait, how do you get your archive? Never mind, everyone. Don't worry. Okay, so I was at the gym with a teacher friend of mine. I won't say her name because she's a teacher, but she was sharing a story of a young girl. I think she does year five or sixes. This friend is listening. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. But anyway, young. She was telling me that this one girl has been struggling with mental health for the entire year, right? And she got rejected from a psychologist, like the psychologist practice for the school, because she was not suicidal. What?
It still happens now.
And then I reposted this. I reposted this, and someone goes, someone on Instagram called Alicia Atkin Radburn. Really, what we need though is greater investment in mental health services. Even with a mental health care plan, the Medicare rebate is $128.40. So this is Australian. The Australian Psychological Society's recommended fee is $267. That's a gap of around $140 each session. For someone who is already vulnerable, that cost burden plus the logistical burden of booking may just be too much for them to continue being proactive when it comes to their mental health. We need to make it easier. We need systemic change. Yeah.
I agree.
What the fuck? Why is the Psychological Society saying there should be a rebate of $267, yet in Australia we only get $128? What the fuck is that crap? And people get rejected when they're not suicidal? Oh.
I had that when I was 20. That was a thing. That was like, it was almost my turning. I remember I was really unwell. I was anorexic. I was leaving an abusive relationship. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was failing university. I was, 20 years old, turning 21. And I went to the university's care thing, you know, for like therapy. And it was on site, and it's like this little house, and you go in and you book your appointment, and normally it's free. So I went in and you get 10 minutes. And I sat down, I poured my heart out to this woman. And she asked me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think you're going to kill yourself? And I was like, I don't know, 1, 2, bearing in mind, I wasn't eating. Like, I was starving myself to death anyway. Like, well, I just cried my eyes out, starving myself to death. What do you think I'm fucking doing? Like, I've just tried to leave an abusive relationship. You know, they still have like the claws in. Like, don't worry, I was just trapped in his room the other day, and I was dragged upstairs like 2 days before that. But don't worry, like, I'm on like a scale of 1 to 2 to kill myself. And she went, I'm really sorry, you're just not severe enough, and turned me away.
Oh, and that was it. And I thought,
why do you think so many people struggle to reach out when they are feeling in the fucking pits? Because we still get turned away. That was 10 years ago. And the fact that now a 10-year-old girl is being turned away, like, that's wild. It's so like disgusting. As an adult, like it's awful. And so then I had to pay, I paid for therapy and I found out I was diagnosed with with psychological numbness, which means you have no feelings, no emotions, absolutely nothing. So I didn't know how to feel. And so that was one of the most isolating moments for me. Like I was so lonely because nobody else around me was feeling the way that they were feeling and they didn't understand how to even deal with me. And the fact that I was being turned away from a university specialism of that sort of stuff. And I was studying kids and learning about like traumas and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And it's just like, I'm a grown kid. Why am I not being helped right now? And
that's disgusting. Yeah. It's just like, I'm sorry, but like hearing the story about that 10-year-old girl, reading what I just wrote out during a pandemic, I'm sorry, it doesn't surprise me that the suicide rate is so high. Yeah, because that's fucking disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. And it's like, why the fuck would someone who's struggling mentally fork out $128 when they're struggling to get booked and then they probably can't even get fucking booked if they're not suicidal? What? What? This is a big factor into loneliness, especially during the pandemic, is that people, they may not have friends to hold space. They may not have family to hold space. And so if they go and seek, you know, this other help, and they can't afford it, or they get turned away. Like, I'm sorry, but it leaves madness. Me fucking speechless. It is madness. It is madness. And it's fucking disgusting. And honestly, the Australian government or like whatever sector in Australia deals with that should be ashamed. Should be ashamed. Yeah. A 10-year-old girl who is struggling mentally gets rejected because she's not actually suicidal. Okay, but do you know that everything she's going through leads up to feeling suicidal? And the fact that when you were 20, you were on a scale of 1 to 2. So no, sorry, you're not a 9 or a 10. So we're not going to help you. What the fuck? What the fuck?
And it's mental. You're not a 9 or a 10, but you are purposefully not fueling yourself, not putting food in your body, not doing anything, literally looking at yourself hating. Like, it just blows my mind. But it comes from one, a lack of education in the fact of anything. And it's also like this personal opinion that not everybody needs it. It's the same. I had a fucking conversation with someone else and they were just like, oh, we've been recommended for our 16-year-old son to talk to this like coach. And he specializes with like angry teenagers and that sort of stuff. We've been recommended this, but I think the best therapists are parents. I was like, are you fucking joking? The worst. And they were like, we don't need anybody else in our business. No, you're the problem.
I said this to my teacher friend, parents should almost have to be made to do classes on like attachment styles and caring for a kid between the ages of 0 and 7 and teaching how to teach your kid how to communicate. Like, I'm fucking sorry, but all of us have learned our behaviors, our shitty limiting beliefs from our parents / caregivers, primary caregivers. Yeah. What the fuck? What the fuck? That is ridiculous. Oh, it reminds me, I'm the biggest believer, like everyone at some point needs to see a psych therapist, counselor, whatever the fuck, at some point. Like, I don't give a fuck if you've come from the most, in quotation marks, family. You have underlying trauma. Everyone has trauma.
We all do. You
have a trauma of perfectionism. Like,
that's what I mean. Even if you were brought up in a family where you were given the most amazing unconditional love, nothing was ever wrong in your family, you will now feel, when you hit a point, you are low in your life, such as feeling lonely, you will feel like there is something wrong with you and you shouldn't feel like that because you've had the most amazing upbringing and the perfect childhood. Well, that perfect childhood has also set you up for failure.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
We have to keep working on our shit. So many people refuse to. This is why when we have kids, we need to be around each other so that we can have these fucking conversations.
I know. I've got to sit down. And as soon as my kids can start talking, Steph, I already said this to my friend, right? This is my plan. As soon as my kids can utter one word, whether it's gibberish or not, I'm going to do weekly lessons, like mini trainings that I do on Instagram, and say, today we're going to talk about how we communicate. Today, I speak to you about boundaries, my little one. Today, we're going to speak about our attachment
How
stuff.
To say no.
I'm not fucking kidding. I'm sorry. I'm scared, first of all, to bring a kid up in the world that we currently live in. And it's only going to get fucking worse. But you bet you, I'm going to sit with my whiteboard, sit that kid down and say, this is how we are dealing with our insecurities. This is how we're dealing with our attachment style. Why are you being needy? Why don't you need me enough? Let's discuss it.
Just for insight, guys, in about 10 years' time, Jess is going to open up a school. It's probably going to be in Bali. You'll be able to send your kids there and they will learn about boundaries and attachments.
Fuck yes. We're going to do mini trainings every day.
Not monthly. No. Up monthly.
I'm sorry, but like if we get them between the ages of 0 and 7, we won't be as fucked up as we all are, because we're all fucked up from our traumas. And it just goes back to the whole everyone should see someone to be able to hold space, because like if you are listening and you for some reason cannot see a psychologist, counselor, therapist, whatever it is, please find someone to hold space for you. You know, in fact, I'm going to make a note. I'm going to leave some numbers and websites at the bottom of the show notes for mental health. So if you are struggling and you honestly feel like you have no one in your life, or you financially cannot speak to someone, I'll leave numbers there. I personally know people who have used these numbers. I have some front of mine. Please speak to someone. Please know that you may feel so fucking lonely, especially anyone in the world that is currently going through an actual lockdown. Like I know how it feels. Steph knows how it feels, and it's very isolating. It's very confronting, right? And it brings up a lot of trauma. And you don't need to do it. You don't need to be alone to do this. It's okay to feel lonely, but know that you can get through this, and it's a possibility, right?
100%. Yeah, you should collate names. Let's collate and then put them all onto like a little blog or something for you.
Yeah, let's do that. Noted. I've written it down. Well, this has been an amazing episode. Thank you, Steph.
It has. I'm sorry that I forgot my footing at some point back in the whenever it was, like half an hour ago. I'm annoyed at myself. I've not let that go.
I'm sure you'll remember randomly, like in the next week, and you'll be like, oh, that's what it was.
Exactly. But no, this has been really, really fun. I really enjoy these. They're so good.
Yeah,
so
they're really good.
All of you listeners aren't feeling too alone, because you're just listening to us.
Yeah, we're here with you. Pretend we're here with you. All right, thank you so much. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate you so much. And I would absolutely love it if you could please leave me an iTunes review. And for more empowerment secrets and real-time updates, come follow me on Instagram @JessPinelli. Until next time.